FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp. is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp. has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp. is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 3/14/19. Well, if you've been watching the freak show in Washington between the socialists ripping apart the Democrat Party, between the freaks that have once known President Trump, the whole cohorts, the Mueller investigation, all of that, you probably don't know what to think. If you've got some opinion on it, please write us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, again, with us is our good friend Matt Nye, who's chairman of the Republican Liberty Caucus. And Matt, you're also a seasoned political activist, and you're representing the libertarian wing of the Republican Party, if there is such a thing. I'm no longer convinced there is, based upon the profligate spending, but it's great to have you back. So what's going on here with Trump? Are they going to get him? Is the Mueller investigation going to be a big nothing burger? Where are we here?
Oh, yes, I definitely think the Mueller investigation is a big nothing burger, and that's why they're, you know, working every conceivable angle push this narrative. So right, I have I don't think you're going to see anything of substance in the Mueller report, and that's why they're, you know, pulling out all the stops with Schiff and all these other committees and things, digging into, you know, his business dealings and family members and all of that.
Well, did you hear that the bulldog, the supposed bulldog, that's Andrew Weissman, one of the most evil people to ever serve in the Department of Justice, knowingly, happily prosecutes innocent people like Ted Stevens, been called out by the court on numerous occasions. He is leaving the Mueller investigation. What do you make of that?
Oh, I think it's proof that there's nothing there, right? He's trying to distance himself from it. So,
Manafort just got sentenced to another 43 months. I mean, I'm not saying Manafort is a good guy, and I certainly wouldn't want him to be my kid's godfather. But does he deserve to be in jail for the rest of his natural life for stuff that he did 10, 11 years ago that under any normal reading of the law would have been passed for the statute of limitations?
No, absolutely not. And I think that's, you know, it is sad. I was driving yesterday, listening to, you know, as those sentences came in. And it just goes to show you how unfair, right, the system is, where you've got people,
yeah,
the law, you know, and they have, there are absolutely no repercussions for him. And then you have this guy basically, being made an example of because he worked for the Trump campaign for 4 months. You know, you don't excuse that what he did was wrong, but there's no question that these sentences are politically motivated.
And so, look, if you're a conspiracy theorist, supposed, and you buy into all this QAnon stuff, QAnon said that Manafort was a plant in the campaign. And in light of his previous relationship with Podesta, not too hard to imagine, is it? And maybe this is payback for a job screwed up.
Hmm. I have
Yeah, perhaps.
Like, as far as him being a plant, you're saying he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and that's the that's why he's being penalized.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
Exactly. Well, so he's
paying a high price for that then.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, the cabal does not take failure lightly, and I mean, it is basically a plethora of failures from start to finish, the cabal, and certainly going up against Trump, they've never had an adversary as crafty and as worthy as Trump, because the fact that half the population thinks Trump's a moron, incapable of tying his shoes in the morning, just shows how smart the guy is to be able to create that impression and get away with it. But I think we're coming to a point here, an inflection point. Weissman's gone. Now, Congressman Collins has been dropping these depositions of the key players in Spygate. First, he did, Lisa Page yesterday. I can't remember the one that he did before, but he's now dropping Peter Strokes. He's basically going to read them all into the congressional record, and he's immune for prosecution for that too. Maybe they can censure him in the House, but they don't seem too anxious to take him on, do they?
No. And again, the difference is, right, when you go into Strokes and Page and all those, there is a there, right? They really did break the law, mm-hmm. and there's substance to those allegations versus the Russian collusion when there is not. So again, at some point, even Trump supporters are getting frustrated with, is at what point do we see prosecution? Like, if there's no follow through and there's no actual prosecution of those people, I just don't see how the American people, or at least the voters that supported Trump, like, where, at what point do you just throw up your hands and say, okay, I give up, right? We got our guy elected, he was going to be the change maker, and we still can't get the criminals prosecuted.
Yeah, so it is, but I got to believe something's happening here. I don't know what's happening, Matt, but something. I mean, these people were good.
Maybe they have it spaced out, right? Yeah. Maybe they're timing it to coincide with the next presidential cycle. There could be some, master plan in terms of, hey, they look at the calendar, right, for the elections, and they say, okay, here's the, it would be nice if this came out here and that came out there. Maybe that's, maybe there's something like that going on behind the scenes, but it's just, it just seems like it takes an awfully long time.
Yes.
For some of this stuff to come out.
Yeah. So he dropped Page. I think he dropped Orr's testimony, and now he's going to drop Strokes, and I guess he's going to do all of them before everything is said and done here, huh?
That would be nice. But
yeah. Bruce Orr's testimony, he dropped that. Nelly, I mean, it's all going to come out, and it seems like there's a weird thing going on. I don't want to get into all the satanic and all the other stuff that these people appear to be into, but when we look at the latest disclosure here about people buying their kids' way into prestigious universities and colleges, they're almost all Democrats. They're almost all Democrats and Clinton supporters, which leads me to believe that there's more to the whole drop of this story than just wealthy people buying their children's way into college, which has gone on for decades now. There's nothing new about this, really, Matt.
Sure, but I think it's the, and that specific issue, what is stunning is it was so blatant, right? Like, we're going to make my kid look like he's a tennis star. we're going to,
or a crew.
He's never touched a tennis racket. He's never touched a tennis racket in his life.
Yeah. Right. Or a crew. Or he's doing
the
crew.
Just going to lie. I mean, the level, the, like you say, the complexity of the fraud in the, it's like, wow. Like, that's what to me is so stunning is the, it's just so far out there.
Yeah, it's way out, and they'll stop at nothing. And you know that there's been a serious crisis in American higher ed, all levels of education for generations. It's totally due to progressive Democrats, because they've been in charge of the educational agenda, And now it's just proof comes in everywhere you look. The schools that do the best are generally private schools, elite private schools, with high tuition, and these charter schools in big blue Democratic cities that they're doing their best to kill right now. We really, Matt, when I look back, I was doing a little informal Wikipedia survey. You name me a blue city, and I will show you a city that has not had a Republican mayor probably in decades. When you go back to Chicago, the last Republican mayor they had in Chicago was in 1933. He probably was a turncoat anyway, and probably was just upset with the party. But from city to city to city, excluding New York City, where every generation for at least 4 to 8 years, sanity prevails. Outside of New York City, they're really, you go to Buffalo, Detroit, we're talking 50 years of guaranteed Democrat failure. And these cities have just blown apart in that time. You name me a city, a blue city, and I'll show you a history of one-party rule, decline, and corruption.
No, it's absolutely correct. And it's not just the cities, right? It's all of the data. If you step back and look at anything, like you mentioned schools, right? So same concept with schools. States, if you look at the population, you know, increase and decrease, the red states are the ones that are pulling in new population. The blue states are the ones that are bleeding. And so this goes back to, you know, kind of the bigger argument, you know, capitalism versus socialism. It's very clear that we no longer live in a society that functions on reason. Because if you were just looking at the data and drawing, you know, a conclusion from those facts, it would be very clear, right, that progressivism, liberalism does not work.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But somehow, you know, half the country, we're right on that 50-50 tipping point where, you know, they want more of it.
Hey, some of these cities, the last non-democratic mayor they had was a Whig, all right? And the Whig party has been gone for 160 years. Looking at Providence, Rhode Island, perfect example of a dysfunctional blue city. Failing, really in bad condition. The last Republican they had was Vincent Bianchi, and that was in 1974 to 82. Then he became an independent from 82 to 84. They had an independent. He came back in 1991 to 2002 because the place got so screwed up. But it's been a history of just a total examination of their inability to rule and inability to lead. I mean, Detroit, the last guy was in 1962. So that's only 57 years ago, Matt, and on and on and on and on. And what's interesting when you look at southern cities where they've been a lot more successful and have been growing, you know, they switch back and forth. I'm not saying Republicanism is the cure to these blue cities. I'm just saying that blue Democratic rule is the cause of the decline. All right. The solutions are more complicated than party lines.
Sure. But I mean, like you say, the closer they are to a, you know, we've never had, you know, pure capitalism or, you know, truly free markets, but the closer they are to, you know, market-based policies and, like you say, more individual freedom, less government control, the better off they are and vice versa. And it's really, I've been listening the last couple of weeks to, I got conscious of a conservative on audiobook. You know, that was back in, what, 61 or 62, I think. And it's amazing, you know, he's basically predicting even back then, you know, Goldwater was complaining that the conservatives even were not, you know, defending against the big government policies, that they were acquiescing even back then. And like you say, that kind of goes to your point is, okay, well, if the, you know, if the alternative is progressive Democrats versus, you know, then what's the point? And that's kind of how we got here. So.
Hey. Here's a great city of the once great city of Gary, Indiana. When do you think their last Republican mayor was? Can you guess?
40 years?
No, you're not even close. Ernest Schaeble, he was in office from 1939 to 1943. How's that sound?
Wow.
I mean, it's just a total history and a record of complete and utter failure, right?
Yep, it's true. Well, like you say, if you just looked at the data, you know, kind of like what you're doing, you go through and identify all these corollaries. You go, okay, what are the similarities, like you say, between all these cities, states, even like you say, going back to education, it's always the policies, right? It's the ID.
Yeah, it totally is.
What ultimately comes out the other end.
Yeah, and they're really great at this. I mean, when you look, what about Youngstown, Ohio? Another failed place. Well, they had a Republican more recently, Jack Hunter, in 1970 to 77. So that's only 42 years ago, right? You name me a city that's failing, I will show you a history of Democratic mayors. And it's every single one.
He was only in it for 3 or 4 years, right? And then it flipped back to Democrat, right? So I mean, that's like a blip in the, you can't turn the ship around in one term.
And it's not to say that the record of failure is exclusively Democrats. I mean, you can go back to Rochester, New York. Well, from 1962 to present, they had one Republican mayor, 1970 to 73, but you know, a failing city. So you show me a failing city, I will show you a Democratic mayor. I will show you one party rule. It's really that simple. You pick out a failing city and I can show you history of Democratic rule. And that's what they want to do for the country. So how can you trust them? If they can't manage a city of a million people or more, then how can you trust them to actually rule a country? You can't trust these people. Not that you can trust the Republicans. We know you can't. But the concept of, you don't have it so much of one party rule. Yes, there are strongholds throughout the country, but even in those strongholds, they're doing much better than the blue dominated cities. You know, I mean, Philadelphia, another one we can go back to. They did have a Whig mayor in 1832. And in when was the last Whig? I'll go with the Whig party over the Democratic party, Matt, any day of the year. Robert T. Conrad, June 1854 to 1856. So maybe we can bring back the Whigs. But we'll go back here to Bernard Samuel in 1941. Guess what party has had exclusive dominion over the city of Philadelphia? Can you guess?
I'm guessing it starts with a D. Right.
You got it. So, hey, if that's not proof, so I'm going to put together a little paper, because you show me a city that's failing, I'll show you a Democratic mayor. I mean, there are plenty of illustrations of Republican mayors failing, but generally they get held more accountable than the Democrats do, and they're gone from there. Lindsay in New York, perfect example. He ran as a Republican, horrible socialist mayor. They tossed him from the party. He ran as an independent for re-election, still won. And, you know, just awful, awful mayor, but eventually they got rid of him. And then they go to Democrats, the city's failing. Then they go to Republican Giuliani. So we're seeing this all over. So Trump, his ordeal is going to be over. You think the Mueller investigation is shooting blanks. Do you believe in this QAnon theory, let's call it, rather than a conspiracy?
I don't know. I kind of go back and forth. Sometimes it seems like he's on the money, or he or she, and then other times not so sure. So I don't think there's going to be anything there with Mueller stuff, but at the same time, I think they're going to keep, you know, the problem is with the Democrats in control of the House, you know, they can do all these committees, and I see that stuff, you know, just continuing to come out right up until the presidential in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No doubt. You're correct.
They're going to use that to keep the narrative going, right?
Yeah, totally. But I don't know. Like, it seems like there's something going on here, because all these Democrats keep getting in trouble for human trafficking, for a whole bevy of awful misdeeds. They keep on getting caught up in this. So that would lead me to believe that something is going on here, right?
Well, it would be nice, right? I would love to see. I've heard, you know, since basically Trump was elected, right, that you were going to see there were supposedly sealed indictments
and things were
coming. And, you know, like I say, I guess, the one thing I would hope the president and the Republicans learned is that when you have all three houses, you better take advantage, right?
Yeah. So you
do not dilly-dally around. You squandered.
Yeah, well, there's a reason. The Republican Party is called the Party of Stupid, and they've justly earned that moniker. Hey, one other test for you, Newark, New Jersey. Okay, when do you think the last Republican mayor was there?
1912.
Ah, come on, you're so negative. So here. We could go back. It's not quite that back that far. 1949 to 1953, Ralph A. Villani. He was the last Republican. Before him, it used to switch back and forth regularly. The Whigs were firmly in charge of Newark from 1836 through 1854. And maybe the city's been going down the tubes ever since. Maybe we really do need to resurrect the Whig Party here, Matt. What do you think?
Well, we need to undo the two-party system somehow, right? I mean, honestly, I think, you know, if the laws weren't written the way they were, I think back when the Tea Party arose, you would have actually had a third party, mm-hmm. you know, come out of that just because the frustration was so high even at that point. But they've just so thoroughly rigged the system where there's no way around it. And you're just stuck with this constant, you know, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very frustrating.
Well, you can thank the Koch brothers for co-opting the Tea Party movement. That's exactly what the party did and manipulated it, turned it to its own advantage. There's a lesson in that. In any event, Matt, where do we find you if we want to read your work, find out more about you?
Sure. So you can follow the RLC on Twitter at R Liberty Caucus. The website is rlc.org.
RLC.org. That's pretty easy to remember. You got a 3-character domain name. I don't even want to ask you what you paid for it. Expensive for sure, but definitely worthwhile investment.
That's one of the benefits of being around since 1991.
Hey, well, we appreciate
it. We got it back before. Yeah.
We really appreciate your coming on the show. And hey, we will have you back on. Don't forget, any questions, anything moved you in this interview? Email me, kl@kerrylutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you are watching this on YouTube or listening on a podcast, please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps me a lot when you do this. Really helps get the word out from people like Matt, who you're just not going to find on the mainstream media. Matt, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Kerry. Appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.